Jeremy.
You feel that? It's hot. It's getting hot here. It's November. It's a hot time.
This is a hot, hot time in so many ways.
Now, we don't have a lot of overseas listeners. Vast majority are in the United States. So I think everybody's feeling it. Needless to say, this is election season. And well, as we record this, we are just a few days away.
It's a big, big day coming up.
Yeah. Some people are more apt than others to talk about their own political leanings. You know, I've been fairly upfront. Without giving too much away, you have a job that puts you more in sort of the public eye, so you seem to be a little more reserved with your own political opinions.
Yeah, I feel like I have to be.
Yeah.
Because my job is public, if someone knows something about me or the way that I think, at least in terms of politics, I think it can be a distraction from the work that I'd like to do with people.
Right.
It's hard, though. It's hard because you, especially with social media, you see things about people or you see them say things that you wish you didn't see them say.
Yeah. I mean, there's massive unfriending going on all over the country. There's people whose relationships, they're on pause. I don't know how else to put it until after the election is over because it's just too much.
Oh, yeah. I feel it. I feel it in family. I feel it with some friends, not many, but
I think I want to say up front that at the Freshman 15, we're not going to outright advocate for any candidate or anything like that because that's not really what we're here to do.
Wait, I thought we were doing the Freshman 15 Voters Guide. That's what the special is all about. I prepared.
That's what everyone's been waiting for. They didn't know what they thought. They thought we need a film podcast to tell us. In all honesty, I'm sure that at this point, I don't think I know anyone who hasn't made up their mind about how they're going to vote or anything like that. All I would say is make sure you do vote.
Right.
It's important. Vote for the candidate that you feel is the correct candidate for our country, whoever she may be.
It really is a privilege to be able to be a part of this thing.
Yeah.
I think we need to take advantage of that privilege for sure.
So let me ask you this then. Because, yeah, I don't know, in these specials, we tend to talk about our own memories and our own backgrounds and those kinds of things. What was the first election that you really remember? Like, you know, this was, you kind of felt the gravity of it.
Like this was a big deal?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that the first election that I actually remember being aware of was Clinton's second term election.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Clinton's second term election. I grew up around people. I knew what they thought. I knew who they were going to be voting for.
It's not hard to tell.
No, it was no surprise. I heard all of these things about Bill leading into this election, these ways that I should be thinking. I mean, I didn't participate in that election, but I certainly, right. That was like the first election I remember thinking, wow, a lot of people care about what's going to happen here.
So that second term, this was pre-major, major scandal, right?
Oh, right.
This was pre-Lewinsky craziness.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It had nothing to do with that. It was simply Democrat versus Republican.
Right.
And that's what it is. That's what it is in Lancaster. That's what you have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you're concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I was a child of the 80s. I do remember all the Reagan intense sentiment and all that. But the first election that I remember being like acutely aware of what was going on was George Bush Sr. versus Michael Dukakis. I remembered seeing it all over the television. My friend and I, who we would make, you know, little camcorder movies of, we would make political movies.
Really?
Yeah. We were just a couple of kids, and we would act out debates between Bush and Dukakis, and of course, you know, because this is part of where I lived and my own upbringing and stuff like that, we would do our best to make Dukakis look like a moron.
Totally. Do you have any of those tapes left?
You know, I would really love to see those.
Me too.
The only part that I really specifically remember was I remember I played Michael Dukakis and my friend Greg played George Bush, and we walked out to shake hands, and I walked out on my knees to make myself look short because
that was
the thing with Michael Dukakis.
Right.
He was this little guy. That was all over the papers. Wimp or shrimp? Which one do you want to pick? The wimp or the shrimp? I don't know why. That was the level of, that's how muddy politics got back then.
We've gone so far from that time.
1988. But yeah, that was it. I remember watching Saturday Night Live and whatnot and being aware of the whole thing. And I remember thinking this is it was so intense
right.
at the time. But I look now and I'm like, oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding.
I know. It's so crazy. This is such a different time So I work with college students. This is a time in which college students seem more engaged or aware of what's going on than I remember I was in college. I was aware, I was engaged, but it didn't seem like a life or death situation. Whereas for college students now, it does. They kind of own that feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I the first election that I was old enough to vote in, I don't even think I did, honestly. And I think the first election that I was old enough to vote in was probably the one you're talking about, was the Clinton mm-hmm. second term. I don't even remember who he was running against.
Do you remember? I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. But yeah, I think I was just like, you know what? My vote isn't really going to make a difference. And now that there's this intense burden, who is it going to be? Are you going to give your vote to this corrupt demon woman or this maniac orange screaming carrot?
Right.
Who is it?
So in honor of these encouraging times.
Yeah. Well, you know, and since we're coming right up on the election, people need, in my opinion, distraction. And there is no better distraction on God's gorgeous earth than film.
I think you're right. It doesn't necessarily help people forget, but it allows them to kind of engage the world maybe in a more refreshing way.
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, we had a little bit of a respite when the Cubs broke their curse. That was a big deal for a lot of people.
It was.
Now, being a Northeast Ohio kid, even that was tough for me. But, you know, whatever. That's all right. At least it was something to think about other than this bullshit election. But you know what? This is it. It's down to the wire. So as we do on these specials, Daniel and I have each picked out a film appropriate for the election season. We'd like to spend our time recommending those films to you. I can't wait to hear your film.
Like, these specials are surprises for each of us.
I know.
We don't know what we're going to talk about.
You know, each time I'm worried that we pick the same film.
I'm not sure it's a worry for me.
No?
No, it's more like, I wonder if it's going to be the...
Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah.
You want me to go first?
I'd love it.
So my film for this election special is the 2009 film titled In the Loop.
Oh, yeah. In the Loop. Wow. What a great pick.
So In the Loop. I love talking about this film. So In the Loop, 2009 film, actually a British film.
Yeah.
Directed by Armando Iannucci, the creator of Veep.
Okay.
The beauty of this film is I think it's so hard to describe because it's so convoluted, which is part of the point. Yeah. But I'll try and do my best to kind of offer some sort of premise. So basically the film, the plot really rests on words. And that's one of the things I love about this film, is it's about semantics and how people talk and how other people use what other people say for their benefit, for whatever it is they want to do politically. The character Simon, played by, I think, Tom Hollander, they're asking him about his job, his thoughts about diseases, actually. And he ends up talking about there's going to be like a war on diseases. And it's a radio interview. And then you can tell that whoever's interviewing him takes this opportunity, because he mentions war, to talk about this imminent war someplace in the Middle East. And they say, well, so what do you think about war and what's going to happen with this war? And he says, well, I think it's pretty clear that war seems unforeseeable.
Preventable diseases. Ah, you mentioned the word war.
Steady, Eddie.
I just wonder...
preventable diseases.
Yes, all the evidence now points to a U.S. military intervention in the Middle East. Is that your view?
Well, personally, I think that war is unforeseeable.
Sam!
Unforeseeable?
Yes.
No, you do not think that!
But I think
Sam,
we're straying rather from...
I'm going to have to go to international development and pull Simon Foster's fucking hair!
What does that even mean? What is he trying to say?
Right.
But the problem is he said something vague enough that everyone's worried about what this means.
Right.
And the great thing about this film is there's another character. His name's Malcolm.
Malcolm is bananas, as I recall.
Oh, he's so... I mean, this film is full of some, like, crazy language, very
sure.
filthy language. But Malcolm, he was one of the Doctor Who characters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he's trying to clean up what Simon says, and then all of a sudden the American government gets involved, and they think that, oh, well, here's this guy wanting to support war, and so we need to kind of get him to sign off on some things. James Gandolfini, he plays this general who's like, well, I don't know if we want to get into this.
Right.
It's so beautiful because at the end of the day, you're like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
And it's so funny, but it actually reminds me a lot of this election season.
Yeah. I think I know. Now, it's been a while since I've seen the film, but I recall it was so quick and so clever.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember even watching it thinking, how did they even write this? Because it required such a deft and subtle knowledge of completely, not completely, but very different cultures converging. And it just seems like, wow, that's so hard to do.
Yeah. And the thing about this is that there aren't really any major political figures. There are all these decisions being made by what seem to be incompetent people.
Yeah.
But these are the ways that things are getting done. And potentially people are going to go to war because of all these low-level people. Really, they make jokes about in the American government. You know, they're all young.
Right.
All these young people just making all these decisions. Reminded me of this election race because I think so many things, especially words that were either written down in emails, words that are actually said in debates, are being used out of context for their own purposes to do with what they want to do with them. And I think that's why I love In the Loop so much.
Yeah, it's great. You know what? I recall as much as the movie, I also recall the marketing campaign of that movie because I remember they released a trailer that was so clearly based on the trailer from Dr. Strangelove.
Totally, yes.
Which was so perfect and apt. Dr. Strangelove will always be one of my favorite films ever.
So good.
It's just so great. But it hits similar notes in that, you know, you have this feeling of like, is the world really hanging by a thread? And it's just based on the whims and miscommunications of these idiots, or is there actually a little bit more providence to what's going on? And you know, and that's, I feel like both movies to a certain degree at least address that kind of vibe.
Yeah, it's all over that film.
Yeah.
And I think it's done in a style, it reminds me of really that British dry style documentary, like, you know, camera is not still, it's constantly moving, zooming in and out. And you kind of feel like you're in these conversations that are being had between these people. You can tell that no one is really necessarily understanding what the other person is saying.
Yeah.
They're just all looking out for themselves and going to do whatever it is they wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah. Hilarious movie also.
So funny.
Absolutely hilarious. It was not what I expected. I remember seeing the marketing and thinking, oh, you know, it looks clever. It's one of the smartest movies of that year, I remember coming out, just thinking this is such an intelligent piece.
And that's why it's so good to rewatch. And it's not, you don't need to rewatch it to see, okay, what's going on in this film. You need to rewatch it because you're missing so many great things being said.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great reminder for me to, because I only saw it once, but it's a reminder that I really, really want to return to that film. I remember certain moments of it stick out to me. What's the foul-mouthed character again?
Malcolm
lets loose a string of profanity in Washington, D.C. In front of a bunch of American tourists. And that interaction is just, you have the two extremes.
Right.
I mean, you know, there was a small part of me. It's like, well, of course, you got to make these American tourists look like dopes. But for that scene, it just kind of worked.
It's so good. So your pick.
So my pick, we've talked about this before. I work in a creative profession. Mm-hmm. I illustrate and I art direct and all these things. And so one of the things that I do is I like to have movies playing, films playing as I work. It's just, it helps me. But it only works if there are films that I'm already familiar with. And so because of that, I have like this bank of sort of comfort films.
Whoa, so you kind of, it's like a playlist.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
It is, and it's a great way to say it. I've got like a sort of a playlist of films that I sort of go to as I'm working, and you know, they're movies that I know. They tend to be acting movies, and not usually like visually intense movies or anything like that. My pick is a movie that is in my, it's part of my sort of playlist library,
man,
that I always have going on in the background. And it's been that way for several years. Suffice it to say, my pick is the 2011 political thriller directed by George Clooney.
Ooh, nice. Okay, great.
The Ides of March. I think it was a terrific movie and actually one of the best things George Clooney has ever worked on.
I agree. What happened though? Because I mean, in terms of its reception, I feel like it was it was underwhelming and it was disappointing to me because I love that film.
It's so incredibly intelligent. And in fact, even as I was at work today, I had it playing in the background. I'm like, you know what? This film stays good. No matter how many times you see it, it stays intelligent. It has twists and turns that it does that thing that I've mentioned on several different podcasts that I like so much. Twists that you don't see coming. Mm-hmm. But when you look back on them, you're like, well, how else could it have gone? Of course, that's how it went. But it's just, it's very, very intelligent.
I wonder if it's the twist that maybe kept people from saying, you need to go see this, because it is a darker twist.
Yeah.
Than I think that people are ready for in that film.
For those who haven't seen it, the movie centers around the central character is played by Ryan Gosling, and he's on the campaign staff of a presidential candidate, and this is during the primaries. It's pretty much accepted in the reality of this movie that whoever wins this primary is probably going to go on to win the presidency. And the candidate in question is, of course, played by George Clooney. A lot of things are going on, and you see just how dirty and fragile politics can be. But there's a point in the movie, it's this beautifully done moment where we see Ryan Gosling's character has a piece of information that could decide the entire election. And he needs to decide whether or not to come clean with this piece of information and probably ruin the chances of what may actually be a great candidate, or to do something else with that information and let the intrigue sort of continue.
I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you Morris. I'm going to give you his whole strategy. I'm going to give you all.
I don't need his whole strategy. I already have it. Paul gave it all to Thompson.
What if I had something big?
Like what?
Something big.
What is it?
Give me the job.
Maybe politics isn't for you.
Politics is my life.
Oh, you know what? Do yourself a favor. Get out now while you still can. Do something that's going to make you happy, okay? Because you stay in this business long enough, you're going to get jaded and cynical.
Like you.
Yeah, just like me.
I don't want to give too much away, but there's a lot that goes on. It's a great acting movie. I mean, some of the greatest film actors there are in this film. Philip Seymour Hoffman, needless to say, you know, Clooney and Gosling are both great actors. Paul Giamatti does a fantastic job in it. Evan Rachel Wood, it's just such a terrific ensemble. And the script is absolutely crackerjack. It's great. It never leaves you alone for even a second. And in fact, the script, it's based on a play, which was written by the creator of House of Cards.
See, this I did not know.
Yeah, but that's Bo Willimon. I want to say he was a co-writer of even the screenplay. If you like House of Cards, you'll definitely love this, because it's every bit as good as that show. In fact, I think in some ways it's even stronger, because House of Cards goes a little almost crazy and cartoonish in ways that this stays very rooted in what could be a very possible reality. And you get the sense for just how fragile things like public perception and public policy and all these sorts of things are. And, you know, like the backroom deals.
Right.
And not in a way that's sort of that's meant to be like, oh, this should scare you, but just in a way it's just like, you know, you should be aware that there's a lot more that goes into the behind the scenes of what goes on with your vote than you might think.
And responsibility. I think that's one of the beautiful things about the Ryan Gosling characters. Yeah. What is his, and that's, I think, a major question is, what is his responsibility?
Yeah.
With the information that he has, but not just with the information, but with this potential candidate and the future of the nation.
Yeah. You know what? I've said this for years. I think, honestly, George Clooney's greatest strength is behind the camera rather than in front of it. And that's saying a lot, because he is a fantastic actor. He just has such a fantastic directorial eye. Every single thing that he directs is so tight, and Ides of March is no exception. So as you head to the voting booth on November 8th, you could do worse than to watch Ides of March, certainly, than to watch In the Loop.
These are such good picks, because they're so different. I mean, they're both hitting at something politically that I think is important in this time, but they do it in their own way. They're kind of juxtaposed in the way that they do it. One uses humor, the other one uses tragedy in a sense.
Yeah.
And I even think that the color palettes of both films are different. I mean, I think of, I just love the color, actually, of how Clooney used his darkness
right
in that film so much, and I want to go watch that film again.
It's great. It really is great. And even if you don't get a chance until after the election to watch these films, they're worth taking in. And I know, you know, whatever, we sometimes we get silly and we joke around, but in all honesty, sincerely, do your civic duty. Go to the polls. Vote. Make sure that your voice is heard, especially in an election like this. It's probably easy to think that, you know, it's just, it's all sort of ground up in the gears of politics, but it really genuinely does make a difference. Vote your conscience. Vote your heart. Vote for who you believe.
Yes, and do it with confidence.
That's right. Well, we want to thank you for being joining in for another special episode, the election special of the Freshman 15, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Can't wait to hear what you think about these films.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.